Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to the show, it's Real Talk. Panel full of open minds, giving you real thoughts. You always gonna get the realest. Beyond the title to opinions, don't get in your feelings. The further assassins, breaking it down, we bring on the next verse. Scroll through our history, here's some of our experts. May of 2013, marks the beginning. Passion and dedication, that was the engine. Shouts to Grip for producing the track. Pissing the recipe, and he came up with crack. Back to this Real Talk, you should really check us out. Providing voices for the people, this is what we about. Bringing skilled and talented guests on from different places. Holla welcome, different views, different races. Hit the top, this intriguing, we on it. It's Real Talk Radio, the best ones doing it. Instead of pick people's interest, going deep, got people's faces frowning like incest. Can't rock out with us, you got a thin chest. We make our name hold weight, that's the bench press. If you're an up and comer, this is where to be. You're gonna get a good look, that's a guarantee. That's just what we desire on. So if you think you're seriously funny, then you can ride along. Been podcasting for years with some veterans. It's one of those days we could be a medicine. Listen, got choices, it's all on them. Either check the store online or you can call on them. Doesn't matter your political views, you can call it how you see it. Say whatever you choose, there's no censor. It's all good when you rock with us. When they hear Real Talk, come chop it up. Conspiracy theories, Barbies, superstorms, online dating, that's the type that's really yours. Why men cheat? Why women better at it? Why you black gotta witness so many foolish tragedies? Why you 30 still making twerk videos? Why narcissists victimize and want pity though? These are things that we all wanna know. Why you at the right place, cause we address it on the show. Models, actors, authors, rappers, singers, producers, atheists, pastors, shouts to supporters, helping us grow faster. It's all love, we embrace fellow podcasters. Sports, dating, family, politics, other shows so they dig us but won't acknowledge it. If we come together, we can make a union. It's Real Talk Radio,
Yo.
Welcome to What's Real Talk Radio with Tay Real and Bobby G. We are here. We are in the building, and we got a special guest tonight by the name of Miss Wanda Douglas. So tonight we're having our interview exclusive with Miss Wanda Douglas, our special guest. So, Bobby, you want to get us started?
Yes, sir. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everyone, to the Real Talk Radio. This should be a good one tonight with special guest Rhonda Douglas. Basically, tonight on It's Real Talk Radio, we will be joined by special guest Rhonda Douglas. Rhonda is an entrepreneur and owner of the company Posana Services. Posana Services provides the following services: cleaning, management, administrative services, security, IT, and leasing. Trinidad-born, Rhonda spent her teen years and all of her adult years in Baltimore, and she has since committed herself to helping give back by providing opportunities for the community.
Rhonda is a mother of three daughters, ages 18, 12, and 17, and one of those super moms who made the ultimate sacrifice to become a stay-at-home mom and raise her children the proper way so they could receive the best start in life possible. Now that her children are older, she has enrolled in college and has big plans to graduate with an AA in business management, then go for her bachelor's and utilize that education to help make an ultimate impact on both her children and the community.
We will be discussing entrepreneurship, the urban community, parenthood, Baltimore, public schools, charity, volunteering, and more. You know how we do. Giving you the real talk with real people, and Rhonda Douglas is the real deal. Don't miss out on this impactful discussion.
And you can catch Rhonda Douglas's website, HosannaServicesLLC.com. So that's HosannaServicesLLC LLC.com. And her business email is, again, Hosanna, HosannaSLLC at Outlook.com. So you got the email, you got the website, you know, and sure, we'll get the information again at the end, but we just want to let you know, like, that's the information to, you know, be able to reach out for networking, business, and all that good stuff. And without further ado, let's get the lady of the hour on, Miss Rhonda Douglas. How you doing, Rhonda?
Hi, everyone. I'm good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we are good. You're good. So thankful to have you come and give us some of your time and energy to put together this tonight's show. You know, so thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you for the invite.
As with all our guests, it's always an honor and a privilege to, you know, sit here and, you know, talk about the world and talk about what's going on, talk about what we're up to, you know, talk about what you got going on, and basically how we all contributing, you know what I mean, to further things, you know, because it's important that we all play our part in contributing to society. And right now, that's definitely what you're doing. So we commend you for that. And Bobby, I think it's on you.
Okay. Yes, you're right, Tay. All right, so this is what one of the things I would like to know, Rhonda. What was life growing up in Trinidad? What was life like growing up in Trinidad?
Life in Trinidad, let's see. I was there up until I was 12 years old, lived with my grandparents. My mom came to America when I was eight years of age. So I stayed with my grandparents, and my aunt helped my mom to raise myself and my six siblings. And at the age of 13, I came to the United States to meet my mom. When I arrived here, I started school at Roland Park, and then I came to Northern High School, which is where I started my journey.
Okay.
Right.
So your mother is there in the same state as you, and you got both in the same city and state?
Yes, my mom is here in Maryland. Also, my sister and my brother. Yes.
Oh, awesome. That's good. You're with your family. That's great. All right. Thank you for that. All right, Tate, it's on you.
Okay. So what inspired you and your family to relocate to Baltimore? What was the inspiration behind that?
My mom, to be honest. My mom, when she first moved to the United States, she moved to New York. And she found that New York was too fast for us to have us there, so she moved to Baltimore. So when we first came to the United States, we lived in Baltimore. So I have been here in Baltimore for over 20 years. I've actually lived in Baltimore. So I've never lived in New York.
Can I ask you a question on that real quick? What part of New York did your mother move to, and when she decided it was too fast and decided to move to Baltimore?
Brooklyn.
She was in Brooklyn? Wow.
Yes.
I was born in Brooklyn. I'm from New York. That's my hometown. Just to let you know. But yeah,
the Bobby G is definitely a New Yorker.
Yeah, I'm a New Yorker, but I'm not one of those New Yorkers that's, you know, fast talker and all that stuff. I'm laid back.
Oh, okay.
I'm a New Yorker, though. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the voice of New York right there. He has a he has a segment that he does for YouTube where every week he does a new discussion and puts it on YouTube. And it's Bobby G, the voice of New York. Like, you know, that's the slogan.
Okay.
Bobby G, the voice of New York. So that's the voice of New York right there, Mr. Bobby G.
But Tay is behind. He's the backbone to my channel on YouTube every Sunday. He's behind the scenes doing the, you know, producing. So, you know, he's still with me, but, you know, yeah, he's still with me. Just like with Together Here, we're still together there, too. So, on, you know, Bobby G, Voice of New York. But we'll talk about Bobby G. Yes.
Nice. I definitely have to look into that.
Yeah, I'll send you some links.
Okay. Thank you.
So, with you being in Baltimore and stuff, and you're pretty much like an adopted Baltimore native at this point. You spent so much time in Baltimore, like, you know, this is kind of like, you know, you weren't born here, but your adult years and your teenage years were spent here. So this is like, you know what I mean, almost like where you're from, pretty much.
My home.
Kind of, in a sense. Yeah, it's your home. And so with that said, this is a question I have to ask you. And I'm sure, like, a lot of people that's not from B-More tend to ask these questions, because I get asked these questions by people that's not from B-More. But do you think The Wire is an accurate depiction of Baltimore?
Absolutely not. I don't think so.
Okay. And why is that?
They did a lot of people, and it brings fear into a lot of people to come into Baltimore because of The Wire. You know, that was all acting. Baltimore is not as bad as a lot of people think it is. It's just like any other state. There is killing in New York, in Atlanta, everywhere you go. Nowhere
Chicago.
Is perfect.
Right.
Yeah, it's all Athens over. No place is perfect. So it's all on how you make it and how you present it is how people are going to accept it. So for me, Baltimore is my home. I will walk wherever in Baltimore streets because I know it's my home. I am not afraid of walking Baltimore streets. You know, I always get, oh, you're not scared to go down to Greenmount? Why? It's home. Wherever I am in Baltimore, it is my home. So I will walk if I need to walk down Greenmount or walk downtown. It's all on how you present yourself.
Thank you. I totally agree. Now, Greenmount is like supposed to be the hood in Baltimore or Maryland. You said Greenmount?
That's a neighborhood that's like one of those, you know.
It's portrayed to be that way, and it's not. It is not. To be honest with you, it is not. A lot of people have put this big stereotype on Baltimore, and Baltimore is not a bad place. It's only how you make it. If you're a bad person and you just straight only want to look for trouble, then trouble's going to find you.
I got you. You see what you? I like what you said, because it's drama in the streets if you out there with the drama. If you're not with it, if you take minding your business and going to the store or going about your business, usually nothing happens. You know what I'm saying? Usually nothing happens. You're not living that life. You're not about that life. You know, you're usually good to go. I'm not saying nothing can't happen. People can get caught with a hit with a straight bullet and somebody.
Right.
But that's rare. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, And I'm glad you said that. You walk the street. You don't fear. You walk anywhere in the streets because that's how you're supposed to be. You shouldn't be scared of walking in your neighborhood. Why live there if you're scared to walk to the store or go outside? You know what I mean? You know,
exactly.
And we shouldn't have to be concerned about our own people when we walk the streets. That's crazy. You know, I'm never doing it. I'm going to walk. I walk all types of day, times of day and night. And just, I don't care. I walk my streets. Wherever I'm at, I don't worry about nothing. I deal with people. I'm humble and I'm nice. So when people see me, I just never have problems in the streets. I get respect. I carry myself with respect and people respect me. You know, I respect people. If you respect people, they're going to respect you back. So simple as that. So I agree with you. And see, The Wire is exaggerated. They for television, they exaggerate all that stuff. Just like with Oz and all that other stuff. I actually just played background in HBO Oz. I was one of the inmates in there, but I didn't speak. I was like a background extra in the fourth season. Yeah. All right. This is another question I want to ask, because you're from Trinidad, and, you know, I have friends from Trinidad and stuff like that. I know people from Trinidad now, and they always tell me about the Caribbean festival or carnival out there. Do you attend the Caribbean festival or the carnival?
I do.
It's very nice. How is it?
It is. It is something that you definitely have to experience to know what it is like. Baltimore usually have it. I know this year, I don't think they had it this year.
Because of COVID. But they definitely stay having it. I've seen a few of them.
Yeah. Miami had it this year. Miami did. The only difference with Miami, which it was still nice because I did attend. In Miami, you just had to show proof of your COVID vaccine in order to enter into the park. Or if you didn't do the vaccine, you had to show proof that you did the test, the COVID test, and it came back negative.
Awesome.
But it's still, awesome. You know, people go out, enjoy themselves, and carnival is all about, you know, when you leave a carnival, you feel as though you are literally back in the island because you get the music, you get the food, you get the kindness of the people. So it's something that you definitely have to experience to, you know, to feel it.
And there'll be so many women. Oh, my, it's like, six women to every man, like, at least the one here. Like, there's so many women, and man, oh, man, do they be showing what they're working with. It's a pleasant sight for a guy. For any straight man, you don't want to leave till it's over, trust me.
You have to go there with a box or a case of, like, if you live in that life, you got to go with a box of rubbers.
No, I don't think No. It's just all about having a good time. No, I don't know if it gets to that extreme.
What's that, Mardi Gras in New Orleans? I don't know if it's like that. I know that Mardi Gras in New Orleans, from what I'm hearing, is a whole different thing.
I heard about that. But I also heard about the carnival in Trinidad. And the thing about Trinidad, the carnival, how long does it last?
Carnival usually starts as soon as Christmas is over. They start partying starts.
Okay. So the day after Christmas.
Yeah, basically. Right after Boxing Day, Carnival
wow.
starts.
Wow, I never knew that. Wow.
Yes, and it's not the costume is more of the partying start. The band, you getting
start.
Your costumes together. You know, the band launching. That's the type of thing that starts right after Christmas.
Wow.
And how long does it last until?
From after Boxing Day all the way into Carnival, and Carnival is usually, I think, this year. So Trinidad is not having a Carnival this year due to COVID. They didn't have it last year or this year. They're having it. Yeah, it's canceled.
Mm-hmm. But how long does it normally last when it's happening?
Till February.
Wow.
What?
Till February.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like a whole...
What's going on every day for a whole, like almost 2 months?
It's partying. Jeez. You party nonstop. You just
party all through end of December, New Year's into February.
I ain't got that much partying in me. I got a good three hours with you, 3-4 hours, and then I'm done. And I'll see you at the next party in a few months. Like, I ain't got that much partying in me. That's a different level right there.
Hey, it's so
I'm an official old head now. I can't keep up with the young folks no more.
I feel you.
Yeah, but we wanted to get into this entrepreneurship, as we know you have you on that. So where did you get your passion for entrepreneurship?
My mom had her own senior care agency. I worked with her at the agency, and I will always cook for the patients at the houses. I will always be the one doing all the cooking. And whenever there's an event, we have something at home, I was always the one doing the cooking. So I started off having my own restaurant, and once the restaurant closed, I went into the corporate field. I worked at the World Trade Center. I did all of the events at the World Trade Center. I was also an office manager at the World Trade Center. And I kept, every time it was time to do a bid, we could never find minorities to bid for the contracts. And I'm like, why is it so hard to find minorities in Maryland to bid for these contracts? You could not find them at all. And I will always have to get bids from companies from New Jersey and Philadelphia. And I'm like, something got to give. Like, no. So, you know, all of this Maryland has, and you cannot find any minority contractors in Maryland. So I decided that I will open up my own cleaning company, cleaning services. So everything that I have under my umbrella is actually what I used to do at the World Trade Center. So I decided to open my own.
Nice.
Awesome. Okay, let's see. Okay, so what was it like to sacrifice yourself as a stay-at-home mom?
You guys did. No.
Oh, no.
You just the restaurant.
No, I totally, yeah. You know, all right, so this is basically, you just spoke on it. So what was it like owning a restaurant?
It was fun. It the enjoyment of seeing customers come in just to have a meal that you prepared and come back again and again and again, to the point that I still have customers that every Christmas and Thanksgiving they will still call and put an order in, even though I don't have the restaurant anymore. They still request to have a dish or two, and, you know, they're my... You know, they still keep coming back, and I said, hey, if you want it, why not? I still offer it.
That's what type of dishes did you serve at your restaurant? Like, what was the menu?
So I did Caribbean food. I did curry chicken, oxtail, curry goat. Yes, the rice and peas, the cabbage.
Yes. Good food.
Man, no mess. You just made me hungry. I'm just not asking that question.
I know.
I'm hungry.
Now I want some
hungry
food.
Now.
I
didn't just do Caribbean. I still kept the American tradition, the cheesesteaks and the wings and fries.
What? You know what? Oh, no, you can't do this to me. You cannot do this to me. I'm so hungry. Oh, my goodness. Man, she got my mom watering over here.
Wow.
I'm hitting the fridge.
So you did Caribbean and American dishes. That's excellent.
I did, yes.
So you did fried chicken and macaroni and cheese and stuff like that?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. That's great. I know you was getting the business over there, for real. I know they was coming in.
Yeah, and I had it on Greenmount, and I had no issues at all on Greenmount. No issues.
Man, I wish I would have known about that at that time.
Yeah, I love
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, I love you some good food. But, all right, so what was it like to sacrifice yourself as a stay-at-home mom? That's a good one. Yeah, I want to ask on that, touch on that one.
The enjoyment of being able to teach my kids, be the first teacher to my children. So I wouldn't call it a sacrifice. It was an excitement for me, and I was blessed and very grateful to my husband that, that I was able to do that, to stay home with the kids and, he maintained the house as far as, paying the bills. He kept that
shout out to
up.
Your husband. So, yeah, it's good to have a good
so
man
I was very grateful.
Stuff, so you could do that.
Yep.
Good.
Yep. We decided that, hey, nope, one gets to stay home to take care of the kids because we didn't want anyone else doing it for us. So I was very, very, very grateful for that. The enjoyment of that, being able to see my kids grow and watch every move that they made as far as every step and how, having three girls, you guys can't even imagine. Three different attitudes nonstop is always something going on with one or the other. So to be able to know, okay, turn off on this one, turn on this one, and be able to sit down and listen to all three of them at the same time to the point now I am like, wait, when they're speaking is like, wait a minute, especially on the phone, I don't know who is who. I have to even my husband, who am I speaking to, Kima, Desi, Sai, because we don't, they speak the same. Their voices are the same. It was truly, truly a blessing to be home with them, to be a part of school when they started school, PTA meetings, being there to volunteer in school for them, and just push them and show them how to be young women and how to cook a meal and how to keep a house clean. So, that was truly a good, opportunity for me and a blessing for me as well.
Excellent. Okay. So that's good. That's very good.
No doubt. No doubt. I respect the heck out of that.
Shout out to the husband. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And
yes.
Any person that takes on that task of stay at home and raising the kids, like, I feel like stay-at-home moms don't get enough, and stay-at-home dads don't get enough credit because people act like that's easy. And it's like, that's a huge responsibility. And it takes away from everything, your social life, your money that you could have made working, all of that, for the greater good of bringing up the kids the right way and being there and always being present, because you see the families where the mother and father both work a lot, and it's like the babysitter's raising the children, and you see like how that can affect the glue of the family. You know what I mean? So when you see there's an active, at least one parent that's active, constantly there with the kids and bonding with them, you see just better camaraderie amongst the family. It's a stronger nucleus, and I think that's right. Crucial. So I respect all the parents that let's just say you don't want to use sacrifice, but that make that decision to do it that way. And to have a stronger family that way, you know, stronger center. So shout out to you and all the other stay-at-home parents that did that while their kids were young, for sure. And with that said, I want to ask you, what inspired you to create Hosanna Services?
To be honest, my niece did. My niece is 8 years old.
Wow.
And she actually came up with the name. And she has Down syndrome. So every day I will pick up the phone and I will call her and speak to her. And that will be the first thing come out her mouth, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And so she always, whenever she knows me on the phone, she will always say Hosanna in the highest. So I said to her, I said, Sarah, Auntie's thinking about opening a company and I need a name for it. What should I call it? She said, Hosanna. And she just started laughing and singing. And
awesome.
So that's,
I love that.
That's where
great.
I came from.
Awesome.
Wow, and the rest is history. Nice.
The rest is history.
Yeah. Great story.
I guess that'll be in one of the chapters of your future book.
There you go.
Speaking into existence.
Awesome.
All right, Bobby.
All right. So, okay. Is this an agency the agency that you have, Hosanna Services, is this an agency where you get people jobs? What exactly do you do, like, so far as the services? Like, what is it you do?
So Hosanna Services is, we do cleaning. It could be commercial or residential cleaning. If you have an Airbnb or you have houses that you rent out and you don't have the time to oversee the property, that's where Hosanna Services come in as well.
Airbnb owners and you go and do the cleaning for their Airbnbs.
Yes.
That's excellent. That is excellent. Yes. So that's one of the things you do. Okay, so that's what I didn't know. That's exactly what I wanted to ask. Exactly what do you do? Yes, that's one of the services is cleaning. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. What's the next?
So if you have office buildings and you need an administrative assistant for your office building, you need cleaning, you need security for that building, Hosanna Services can also provide those services for you as well.
Awesome. So you have, what you do is you find people, skilled people who can do that work, and you hire them or you connect them with doing that work, and then, you know, they get paid.
Yes, so I will also hire those people on my team as well. Yes.
Okay, excellent. That is great. Yeah, that's a great thing you do. And you offer people work. You offer people who have those skills jobs. So,
yes.
Hats off to you. So that's good.
So you're going to talk a little bit about the opportunities you're looking to provide for the community, because, you know, when we spoke, you know, you spoke highly about that, how you're passionate about that. So you want to talk a little bit about the opportunities you're looking to provide for the community?
Yes, absolutely. So my goal for Hosanna Services is actually to give back to my community. Our intention is to bring in the little kids. You know, there's so many young kids out here that, you know, they don't know what they want to do as far as once they're finished with school. Do they want to go to college? A lot of them have so many things in mind. They want to be able to have their own business. So this is where I want to give back as well and said, you know, if someone is interested in opening up a business, I want to be able to help them and give them that hand that they need to start off, to show them how to do it. I'm willing to help you get started and get you off the ground. That's what Hosanna Services is going to do.
Nice. Bobby?
Okay. All right. All right. So what are your future plans for Hosanna Services?
Our future plan is to grow, just keep on growing, keep on serving the community, keep on opening up doors for, you know, single moms, single dads, children that are out there that just need someone just to listen to and just to show them how to get started, how to be an entrepreneur, how to be independent. That's what Hosanna Services willing to offer out to our community.
Excellent. I love that's great. That's good. I mean, it's one thing to help people to service businesses and to help people get jobs, but to share knowledge on how to become an entrepreneur, that's also amazing. So, that is hats off to you, man. That's great. That is great. And that's the thing about I like about our people, because we love to share. We share. They're not selfish. We share what we know. We share everything to our people to keep our people moving forward. Because when you help someone, when you help our people, you're helping us as a whole. So,
yeah.
You know, when you, right. So to me, that's like, I love that. Like, you know, you teach one, you know, and then that person goes and teach someone else, and that's helping the whole, like, community and the whole, like, our people. You know what I mean? It's just helping us grow as a people, and that's great. And so anyone, like, that's out there sharing, you know, with our people, man, hats off to you guys. I commend you guys. I commend people like you all the time. So, well, thank you.
Yeah. I agree. Definitely commend you for that. And so another thing we talked about is, you know, your passion for being charitable. So how important is being charitable to you?
Very, very important. Very. I mean, even if it's just two people walking down the street and cleaning the street, that's giving back to your community. You know, the Red Cross right now needs a lot of volunteers, a lot. So, you know, just giving back, and you're giving back to your community. And just to see, just to be there to put a smile on someone's face when they're in need or, you know, someone's ill. You know, a lot of our elderly people just need companionship. Just someone to knock on the door and say, hey, how are you doing today? How are you feeling today? You know, something as simple as that, it means a lot into your community. So, you know, I use my kids. I take my kids and we volunteer. We also go and feed the homeless because I want to show them that, you know, this is what we need to do. They were once. They had a house once. They had everything once, and they lost it, but they don't know how to get back on their feet. and just a simple little, how are you doing today? How can I help you? It goes a long way. It means a lot to a lot of people. Just kindness on the whole.
And, yes, I love the fact that you said that because years ago I used to, in New York City, there was a company called Meals on Wheels where they served the elderly people and the people who just couldn't come out their house, like disabled and all that. And I used to work with them. And I used to deliver food every morning to every, day to the elderly and disabled and everything. And I'm going to tell you, man, I felt so good doing that. Like, it's a great, I felt good. And going, bringing, and these people love me. Like, the elderly likes to come and drop the food off. And they want me, they want to talk to me forever, but I had a route, so I had to keep going. I had a bunch of stops to make. So they want to keep me in there because, I had so many elderly friends doing that. Like, and I would be cool with some of the home health aid women because they would be in the house with them. So I knew a couple of home health aid women. So I love that job. And I feel like people who do that should get paid more money because that's a real job to me. Like, that's real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And, it's like it's a job that makes you feel like you're really doing something, So I always felt good when I did that, And I always people would ask about me when I did leave. Like some of my ex coworkers would say, "Hey, so and so asked about you. So and so this person asked about you." And see, in that position, some people are elderly. Sometimes people, they old. So sometimes you lose some of your people, because they're up in age and some of them move on, So.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of rough, some people who I liked and then I found out, passed or whatever. So, but I really always loved doing that work. That's a great thing. I was working in, LES, I was working on Vladek houses. It's a door called Vladek houses where we would go meet up and, get on the, get in the truck. Go pick up the food from the Chinese people, the business that they would prepare the trays of food, and we would have our routes. Go drive out, and each person or each team had a route to do. So we would go, hit our routes, and boom, and work our way back to the office. But yeah, all right. So yeah, I just want to say that. Man. So that's great.
What is your connection with the Red Cross? Like, how'd you get connected with the Red Cross, and how'd you get connected with the Red Cross, and how do you feel about the charitable work you're going to be doing with them?
So I was just sitting on the sofa and just Googled the Red Cross, and I did volunteer. And when I clicked on volunteer, so it asks you what exactly do you want to volunteer to do. And once you fill out all the information, you get an interview, and it was pretty easy. And then you just go through a training. So it was something that I've always wanted to do. And I was like, I always wondered, like, how did I do that? How did I get to do that? What do you need to do to become a volunteer with the Red Cross? And I just sat in front of the computer and Googled it and found it and signed up.
I hear that. Because, I think that we need volunteers that's very important to have volunteers. So
yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. That's something that I was interested in too, something that I would, want to look into in the very near future as well. So, tilt my hat to
definitely
you
get
for
you
that.
Connected.
Yeah,
definitely get you connected
sure.
There.
In the introduction, we read on how you go for your AA, followed by your BA, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, your stay-at-home mom, but now your kids are older and you're back out, you're working and you're going back to school, pursuing your education, you know, which I took my
awesome.
Ex to you for that. Do you plan on going beyond your BA? You plan on maybe getting a master's degree, or how far do you plan on going?
Yes, I am definitely going to go for my master's once I'm finished with the BA.
Nice.
Now that my oldest herself, she's 18 in college, I have my 17-year-old right behind and my 12-year-old. Now it's time for me to finish up school. Yeah. So I will be graduating
awesome.
With my AA May of next year, God's willing, and right after that, I'm jumping right into my BA.
That's
nice.
BA
you're
going
to go right in. You're not
going
to take no time off. You're going to just go right to it.
I'm going right to it.
That's the best
and
way
the
to
BA
do it.
And the BA is going
to
be like a business BA, a business bachelor's.
Yes.
Business
management.
Business management? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I took up business management
excellent.
In college. Yeah.
And then you're going after your master's. Wow. That's amazing.
Yes.
I know other women that's doing that, and that's so hats off to a lot of you black women that's doing it, man. Hats off to.
Hey, the sisters are killing it. The brothers can lash out for the sisters like the sisters
doing.
Are killing it. I'm telling you,
the sisters are just killing it. Yeah, the women are just
yeah,
killing
sure.
it. Yeah,
sure.
The brothers
sure.
are looking terrible right now. We need to get our brothers need to get on track. You know what I'm saying? The sisters is killing it. So, man. But anyway, so okay, so. What would you like to share with the youth? Is there anything you'd like to share with the youth? Anything you would like for them to know? Anything you'd like to share?
Yes, don't give up. It's hard out here, but don't give up. There's always someone that's willing to listen. You know, there's always someone. I will definitely leave my phone number with you guys as well, you know. A lot of our young kids out here don't have anyone to listen to. And it's not that they need a psychologist or they need, you know, sometimes they just need a listening ear. And it don't have to be someone in the medical field that they want to talk to. They just need someone just to listen to them or just ask them how they're doing today. How was school today? How was lunch today? What did you do today? It's just a simple little how are you doing. A lot of our kids just need that. You know,
because they need to let you know what's going on. And it might be something
yeah.
that you can share with them that will help them drastically, you know, majorly,
yeah.
you know. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah,
yeah
so don't give up. Tell you, and I agree with that. Yes. Yes, so we definitely do not want the youth to give up because they are our future. We need them.
Yes, they
you know,
are definitely our future. Yes, and we need them. We need them like there's no tomorrow because, you know, they are the next generation, you know, and we need strong. I mean, they are way stronger than us now, some of them.
They are way
vocal.
Smarter and stronger than us now, these kids.
Yes.
They are starting there. Yes. Yes,
yes,
these kids are something else. But the thing is,
yes.
when I was coming up, I didn't really have, like, you know, I came from a single family, you know, my mom's raised me. So my pops, I've seen him, you know, a few times here and there, you know, I spent time with him, but my mom's raised me for the most part. So bottom line is, at the end of the day, we have to share knowledge with our kids that they're not getting in school. Like we gotta share the certain things that they need to think about. We need to like put that seed in their brain. You know, we gotta give them one to grow on. You know, because a lot of people ain't doing it, so we have to do it now to help them stay focused to moving forward. You know, as a people. So I agree with that. You know, so yeah.
Yeah, and you know just. Support, you know, they need support.
Support.
A lot of Yeah.
They need support.
And that's
just
kids, you know. We have adults that just need that support, just need that someone just to say, hey, it's never too late. You're never too old to start a future. You're never too late. You can always start. As long as you have life in your body, you can do whatever you want. Don't ever listen to anyone that tells you, oh, you're too old for that. Oh, you can't do that. Yes, you can.
If you have life, you have hope. You're never too old for anything. If you can do something. If you want to do something, trust me, no matter how old, you're going to do it. You know, if you really want to do something, you're going to do it. So that's just the way it is. So, right, no one's ever too old to do anything they want to do. You know, they can go back and get their high school diploma. They can get their associate's degree, bachelor's degree, and even a master's. As long as there's life, there's hope. So.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, okay. All right. How do you want to be remembered? How would you like to be remembered?
I'm always smiling.
That's a good trait. Good trait to have. I don't smile. A lot of people tell me, right? A lot of people tell me, why don't you smile in that picture? I don't know. This is me. I'm real. I'm about to do a book. Nah, but you know, I do smile sometimes. I like to have fun. I'm not a guy that's like all like straight up. You know what I mean? I like to have fun, like everybody else. I like to laugh and stuff. But you need that. But what's going on in the world? You need to laugh and have fun and enjoy it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You got to. It's good for you. It's good for your physical. So.
Yeah. Even with the mask on, I'm still smiling.
Even with the mask on, I hear that.
I'm smiling under my mask, right?
Yep.
Exactly, under the gas mask.
I hear that.
Thank you.
My bad, Bobby. Go ahead, Bobby.
No, go ahead. You gotta smile. I was just saying, you gotta smile.
Within the time of, you know, our past crossing, and we actually went to high school together, but aside from that, our past crossing recently, and you know, I'm telling you about the show and everything, and you coming on and everything, I can say that definitely like a, you know, nice, sweet person, you know, definitely somebody that you would want to have as like a friend, an ally, someone that's, you know what I mean, just a overall sweet person, you know, I can see that just based on, you know, our interactions and things. So I just wanted to, you know, just put it out there, and if anybody was, you know, if it's somebody I would want to work with, it'd be somebody like you, just based on your character, because character matters. You know what I mean?
Yes, it does.
You have an inspiring character. You know what I mean? So,
thank you.
Yeah, if somebody you want to work with,
it's somebody like Rhonda,
for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just loving, caring, compassionate person.
That's what we need.
But, you know, I want to, you know, before we go, I do want to touch on, like, a couple things. One thing I want to ask you is parenthood, right? You raised three daughters, right? Ages, what, 18, 17, and 12? And, what was that experience like motherhood, raising three daughters? Like, what was that like, and what has that done for your life, and what have you learned about yourself in raising three daughters and being a mom?
I've learned that they each have their own personalities. And my approach with each of them is different. They all learn differently. They do a lot differently. So I had to get myself intact of how to deal with each of them individually, especially when coming time for if they did something wrong and it's time for punishment or schoolwork. I had to learn, I had to teach myself how to deal with them differently. How to,
because they're,
you know,
individuals, exactly.
They're individuals, yes. So I had to, you know, at times I used to get flustered, be frustrated, and just yell. And I had to, you know, get myself into reality and be like, you know, I was like, oh, wait, no, wait a minute. This is not how you do it. This is how you do it. In order to for them to respond to me, I had to, you know, figure out how to approach them in a manner for them to be able to respond back to me. So, you know, being a stay-at-home mom, you know, we do go through our little challenges as well with the kids being, you know, but the thing with the teachers in school, yeah, they're leaving the kids at the end of the day and they're going home. And they still, you know, going through their mind, they're like, oh, man, Jack gave me such a hard time today. Then tomorrow I have to figure out how can I approach Jack tomorrow to make sure Jack have a good day in school and we can be on the same page together. So I had to be the mom, the teacher, the doctor, the nurse at home to be able to understand each of them individually and know how to approach them.
Excellent.
No doubt, no doubt, no doubt.
Excellent.
No doubt. I hear that. I hear that. And, you know, you brought up school, right? And speaking of school, we want to go what I was speaking on that because we said we was going to touch on that. Public schools and, you know, how they are now as opposed to when we were in grade school in the, you know, 90s, mostly from the 90s to me, 90s, you're a little older than me, right? But we're around the same. We ended up in high school at the same time, right? So, like, how public schools was back then as opposed to now, like, are you satisfied with where the public schools, what they're teaching the kids, the way they're run? What are your thoughts on the modern times public schools and how they run?
I think it could be a little bit better. I honestly don't feel like the teachers are being paid enough. And by that, I feel like some of them just don't show interest in the kids like they should. I'm not saying that they're supposed to step in and be the parent, but, you know, sometimes, you know, if there's an issue at home, the next safe place for a child should be in the school system. And that child should be able to go to that teacher and have confidence in that teacher and be able to say, hey, Miss Ross, I need to talk to you. Is it okay if I can get some time to talk to you? But if they don't have that, then, and they don't feel that comfort, how do you expect them to learn in your classroom as well? So, you know, that's another thing is how are the teachers with the kids in the classroom? I have sat in my kids' classrooms and observed the teachers. I've done that many times. And if there's something that I don't like, I pull the teacher aside and I tell them about it. Hey, you know, you could have approached this kid differently. You know, they might have said, hey, well, it wasn't your place. And I will say, well, yeah, it was my place because I'm the one looking on the outside of how you're teaching not only my child, but all the other kids in the classroom, and they could have all been my kid. So if I didn't like your approach with that child, that could have been my kid as well. You know, so I definitely think that the school system needs to be better in Baltimore City on the whole.
In New York, too.
Mm-hmm.
In New York, too. Right? I agree.
All right, last thing I'm going to ask you, right, as far as that, if you were in charge, what would you do different if you were in charge? You had it your way.
What would I do different? Definitely learn how to approach kids differently. Definitely. Be more attentive to them. Don't just, you know, treat them as though, oh, you're only here for a certain amount of time, and then I don't have to see you for the rest of the night or the rest of the day. Oh, I'm happy that summertime is coming. I don't have to deal with you. You know, as a good teacher, and we have a lot of excellent teachers out there. We have a lot.
Thanks.
You know, we have a lot. I've, you know, the whole time, during this COVID issue going on, my daughter that's in middle school, her teachers were literally coming by, stopping by, blowing their horn, checking in, make sure that they're okay. You know, so we do have good teachers, and the ones that are new and upcoming, I think definitely that they should have, like, the old teachers showing them how to do things, you know, how to be more attentive to the kids and how to be a listener, because a lot of our kids out here, you don't know what background that they're coming from. So a lot of them put up this shield that you can't break because they're afraid of you. And you don't want your students to be afraid of you. Your students should be able to come and talk to you and be able to open up to you to whatever is going on with them, because you might be the only other open door that they have to come to besides when they're not in school.
Right.
So I definitely think that the city schools, they need to do more. They definitely need to do more.
Any teacher who looks at a student as a nuisance, or, okay, I only have to deal with you for 40 minutes until the bell rings, you are the one that need teaching. All right?
Yeah.
The kids are the ones that need your guidance and teaching. So if you want to look at them, look down your nose at the children, then you're the one that needs teaching. You don't need to be a teacher until you are properly trained to be a teacher.
Yeah.
And you gotta have love. You gotta have love for these kids. Who got love is the one who gets the kids who teaches the kids. Where the kid will learn something from them. The kid will remember them when they grow up. And the kid becomes famous, or the kid becomes, you know, does something, you know, real. They will always look back at that. How you made, you got to always remember something. We always remember how someone made you feel.
Yeah.
Any relationship. You always remember how someone made you feel. So if a kid didn't feel good with that teacher, they're not going to talk about that teacher. They're always going to talk about the one who made them feel good, who shared something with them, something to, you know, carry with them throughout life. So, you know, those are the ones who will be remembered, and those are the ones where, you know, the youth will always speak on. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I totally agree with all everything you said. So, thank you.
So, with that said, leave your contact information. Let the people know how they can, you know, reach you as far as, you know, networking, business, or, you know, just, you know, maybe, you know, you can give them words of encouragement with, you know, you being such a compassionate person with, you know, the people and the community and everything. Maybe they just want to follow up on what you got going on. Any type of contact information you want to leave, right? Social media, email, website, all that stuff. Let the people know.
Okay, so I can definitely be reached at Hosanna Services, HOSANNASLLC, at Outlook.com. And also, that is my email. Also, my phone number,
443-360-8973.
Awesome.
Okay. Okay, okay, okay. Well, I can't let you go without this.
Yes, yes, he was early around here. Hopefully around too. But yeah.
Round of applause, because I think you deserve it, just for who you are as a person, you know what I mean? We need more people like you.
Like you.
You know, yes. We definitely do. And so I commend you, you know what I mean? And as far as I'm concerned, you're an ally to me, you know what I mean? I'm an ally to you, you know? And I think it's things that we can definitely learn from each other and inspire one another. And I see nothing but great things in your future. So I just wanted to say that. And I appreciate you joining. Oh, and also remember, the link that I sent you for the people that didn't catch it live, all they have to do is click the link. So just send it to whoever that you want you think might actually ticket and turn in. Just send it to them. They just click it and they can just play it anytime from beginning to end, so nobody missed anything, you know. So for anybody that, you know, might have been laying down sleep or doing whatever right now and couldn't check it, just let them know, send it to them, let them know, hey, man, I was, you know, my boy Tay gave me an interview, and just click it when you get a chance, check it out. We talked some good stuff. So, yeah, that link will always be a part of this journey. They can listen and hear who Rhonda Douglas really is, and, you know, how you feel about certain things and everything, the community and all that good stuff. So just remember that. And, again, thank you for joining us. Great discussion. Appreciate having you on. And we'll keep in touch and, continue to inspire one another. And, yeah, man, this is real talk. This is what we do. So did you enjoy yourself?
I did. Thank you guys so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it, and I'll definitely going to do this again.
Not a problem. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, for
you.
Sure. It's a pleasure. Definitely. It's a pleasure.
Yes, man.
Hey, I told you we was going to take care of you. See, look at that. You sound like... This is like your 30th interview. Doesn't it sound like this is your first on-air interview? Like, you know what I mean? I told you we was going to take care of you, and I told you it was going to be like a conversation. See? And what it turned to, like a regular conversation. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
There you go. Faye was not lying to you. Faye was not lying. He kept it real. They will.
Yeah, I didn't sense one nervous on your body. If you was nervous, you take that off very well.
All right. Yep. That's
but,
how you do it.
Yeah, but again, thank you. We're going to let you enjoy your night. We're going to close out. This is Tay Real Body G with our special guest, Rhonda Douglas. It's Real Talk Radio. We're out of here. We'll catch y'all next time. Peace.
Peace.
Have a good night.
Good night.